Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Sean Kreitz and absolute pleasure to have two individuals in the studio here. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. We have Waleed and Uswa. We're going to be talking about Ramadan. Waleed, we'll just get you to go first. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. And Uswa, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. So we're going to be touching on Ramadan today. And right off the bat, I'm very curious. I don't have a lot of knowledge about it. I have what Google says in front of me, but it's always better to get the personal experience right in front of us here. Let's just go with the easy question right off the bat. Before we even hop into it, I always like to get to know who we have in here as well, because I think Fort McMurray is just so interesting and diverse. Waleed, what's your connection to Fort McMurray? Were you born and raised? Did you move here? How'd you end up?
My connection to Fort McMurray, I was born and raised in Edmonton. I worked as a teacher there in a private school for a few years, and then saw some opportunities here. Raised a family of six kids and brought them all up in 2008, and been working in Fort McMurray Public since then, in the high school and now in a couple of elementary schools as a principal. It's a great community. Very family oriented, very community oriented, and just been a real pleasure the last 15 or so years.
And Uswa, yourself, what's your connection?
I've basically lived here my whole life. My dad, when he got a job at Suncor, like everybody, we moved here in 2012, and I've been here ever since.
Very cool, very cool. And I guess here's the easy question right off the bat. Can you explain what Ramadan is?
Ramadan is the name of one of the months in the Islamic calendar, and there's 12 months. It's a lunar-based calendar, so the days are either 29 or 30 days each month. Ramadan is the ninth month in the calendar, and it is a month where, in Islamic tradition, God has prescribed fasting for us during that month.
And why is it an important time for Muslims to celebrate Ramadan and go through Ramadan?
The number one reason in the Islamic sense is that it's a prescription from God, and God is the doctor and he's giving us something that's going to be good for us. So the number one reason is that it has been commanded that fasting be performed for those who are able to do it. And there's a lot of criteria for who's considered able and who isn't. And there's license for people that are experiencing difficulty for whatever reason. So the number one reason is that it's a command from God, same as prayer and being charitable and those kinds of things. So that's the number one reason. But there are also other reasons when you dig into it, even from your own human perspective, and you look at the medical perspective, there's a lot of really good reasons for doing that and benefits to it.
And then when you say fasting, what do you mean by that?
So fasting in the Islamic sense is refraining from drinking or eating during daylight hours. So from the time of the first prayer of the day, which is at dawn, before sunset, until the sun sets at the end of the day. During those hours, there's no drinking water or coffee or anything, and no food until the sun sets. After the sun sets, you go back to your regular eating habits. Sometimes people overdo it a bit because they've been fasting all day, but generally it's just during the daylight hours.
Okay, yeah. Very interesting. And so, like us up in Fort McMurray, and from my understanding, so on the lunar calendar, right? Is that what it's based on? Can it switch around from months,
yes.
Yeah. Year to year type of thing?
I think it goes back every 20 days. Is that what it is?
Every year, about 10.
Yeah. 10 days, yeah.
And so it doesn't line up exactly with the solar calendar.
Right.
Yeah.
And so has it ever happened during like the summertime? Like
I haven't experienced it in the summer, I don't think, but...
You haven't fasted in the summer?
Oh, in the summer.
Okay. Yeah. Like, has it happened like June or July?
Yes. Where not so long ago, yes.
When does the first prayer happen? Like,
yeah, in summertime, it's really early.
3 a.m., 4 a.m.?
Yeah, because the sun is up very early in the summertime.
Oh, my goodness.
So you have to stop eating before that.
Has it ever happened in winter months where, like, the.
Eventually, it will move toward. It's moving towards winter now.
Like, right, because we're going
back. Next year will be earlier than the year after.
Wow.
Yeah.
But in the summer, it's a lot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So what are some of the customs and rituals associated with Ramadan?
Well, do you want to take that one? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the main things I think that like a lot of people do is at nighttime, there is a prayer that it's called Tarawih prayer. Basically, it's like when everyone comes together and they pray in like congregation. So that's a big part of that. And then other rituals are just like breaking your fast together with family, friends, things like that.
What do you mean by breaking the fast?
Like when you like stop, like you eat to break
every
fast.
Day, like
yes,
at nighttime.
At nighttime.
Okay.
Like, I know me and my friends, what we do all, like, almost like maybe like every second week, we all get together and we all break our fast together. So that's really nice when we do that. Or always just do it at home too with my family.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So with those evening breaking of the fast, there's a lot of time through the day to prepare a nice meal, and you'll see a really decked out table every single night. And because there's rewards considered for helping somebody to break their fast, whoever breaks the fast of another person, so feeds them, receives the same reward as their fast. So we're very encouraged to seek that reward of feeding people who are breaking their fast so that we can get a double reward. And they still receive their reward. So it really has a great way of unifying families, number one. Families and their extended relatives, neighbors, friends. And you constantly see people inviting people to their house for iftar, which is the breaking of the fast. And it's a very special time of the year because there's so much community sense and so much drawing closer together as a community of believers.
The way you describe it sounds like it kind of brings people together and it encourages you to kind of like help your neighbor type of thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And always a really big, nice meal every single night.
It's easier because of that.
Yeah, no kidding. Looking forward
some
to
people
a good
actually,
meal.
Some people actually gain weight during Ramadan because of that, because they just really, you know, they don't want to hurt their friend's feelings and not eat too much, so they eat too much and then they go to sleep and they pack it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. What are the impacts of Ramadan on a person's daily life? Let's start with physical impacts.
Well, I think being tired is the main thing. That's like something you deal with. I know I deal with that a lot, especially with school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the biggest thing, I think.
Getting thirsty for a lot of people is difficult. Getting hungry for people is difficult. Obviously, it's not the best experience while you're hungry and thirsty. But there's also that at the end of the day, the appreciation for what you've been given. Mm-hmm. So you sit at the table waiting for that moment when the prayer starts and the fast is over, just a very deep appreciation for what you do have.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of take it for granted a lot of times in the busyness of the day. Oh, I got to eat lunch and go to work, or et cetera. You don't think about it too much. But at the end of the day, you really get reflective and sometimes emotional because you think of how, you know, good you actually do have it compared to a lot of people.
I think having that mindset also makes it a lot easier for some people because, like, I know one of my friends, she plays, like, badminton, and, like, the city finals last year were during while she was fasting, and she was fine. So
There you go. And then what about, like, spiritually, mentally, what is the impact on the day-to-day life?
For me, I find that going hungry and going thirsty, you tend to draw inwards a little bit and you become more reflective. And I think that's also part of the purpose of the fast, to draw closer to God, because you know that you're fasting, number one, to please God according to his command, that he only commands what is good for us, beneficial for us, and he only forbids what is harmful. So that trust that even though it's difficult, I'm learning patience, I'm learning reflection, I'm learning commitment, perseverance, determination. Like, you're learning a lot of things in this fast because you're doing it for a reason. It's not just, you know, my doctor told me
to. Because the calendar strikes.
Or my doctor told me to, or I need to do a blood test or something. You know, you actually have a deeper motivation behind it. So a lot of people get very spiritual, very, very reflective. They want to do more acts of worship to really benefit from it. So they'll read Quran more. They might do some extra prayers more than they normally would. They can't eat anyway, so they might as well, you know, do some extra prayers and extra, or do some charitable works because, you know, they're becoming more inwardly turning and, you know, turning towards God a little bit more than they normally would.
Mm-hmm.
It also helps you build those habits because, like, since it is a month, like, what is it, like, 27 days is how long it takes to build a habit or, like, break a habit even. Like, it's the perfect time for you to, like, get something into your routine and keep it constant.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Can you remember from when you were young and you first started Ramadan to how you've grown over the years? Has your perception changed about it? What have you learned year over year over year from just experiencing it every single year?
I'll let Uswa start. I've been doing this for a while, so you might be a little
younger. I think before, when you're a little, it's more of like, it's like an excitement thing, you know, because like, oh, my friend's fasting, I want to do it too. But my mom was like, oh, like when you're little, it's okay because like, well, you should eat more because you get tired easily and everything. But I think after, as you get older, and like better understanding of what it is you're doing.
Yeah.
And like that connection that you have to God, and like doing all those things you said, like reflecting and like reading Quran more and like getting your prayers, like those things become like more important almost than it's just being like, oh, just like a fun thing to do.
Is it like just another like a process of like just growing up every year type of thing?
Yeah, a little bit more. We see it like a refueling station sometimes for the soul. As you get older and you understand what your faith is all about and why you have these different aspects of our faith as requirements, you start to appreciate the benefit of all of it. When you're a little kid, you're not technically required to fast until you've reached the age of puberty. So most things like that are, most things in Islam are like that. It's for people who understand what they're, you know, why am I praying? And we teach kids when they're little to pray, but they're only really required to do the five daily prayers when they've reached puberty. They're mature. They understand these deep concepts, and fasting is the same, charity is the same. So we train our kids by, you know, maybe doing a partial fast because they're very little and they're complaining and I'm thirsty and I'm hungry. But as they become, you know, older and they're starting to understand more why, you know, these things are in place for us, and they have a deeper appreciation and a deeper commitment to following it.
Yeah, like how I'm kind of learning about it is like life can get busy. And then when all of a sudden like Ramadan kind of comes around, you kind of get brought down to like the core level of, you're like, hey, this is why.
Yes.
Very cool.
And what really matters.
It's Waleed and Aswa in studio here today, and we're chatting all things Ramadan. We're just going to take a first break and we'll be right back.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
And we're back. Thanks for tuning into the show. Waleed and Aswa in studio. We're chatting all things Ramadan. What are some of the health benefits associated with fasting during Ramadan?
It gives the body a rest, number one, because I talk about this a lot with family and friends. We don't eat to live as much as we live to eat. Like we eat more than we need to, and out of boredom and, you know, convenience. And so we eat much more than we actually need. So it gives the body a break. The body does need a break. I read once or heard once on a broadcast that the thing that ages a person most is food, because you're 24/7 processing what you're taking in, and you're, over time, your kidneys wear out and your liver wears out and your pancreas wears out because you're just constantly processing. So if you give your body a break and you're basically only eating what your body really needs, and over the course of the month, you get less hungry during the day, less thirsty. Your body sort of readjusts and reprograms to that, you know, midday feeling hungry. It's just not there as much anymore. People are still getting the nutrients that they need, even though they've been fasting. We also have a tradition of getting up before the fast starts to have breakfast. So it'll be a small one, especially if it's in the summer. You don't feel like eating at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. But you should get up and have something to get your to keep your body going through the day. Drink some water, have some light breakfast before you start fast. And at the end of the day, so you're basically getting two meals instead of three or four.
That's right.
Yeah.
How about any of the risks? Any of the risks involved with fasting?
Well, I feel like anyone who has like a risk, like a health risk or something, they're not required to fast anyways. So for like a normal person, I don't think there is any like real risk other than
inconvenience and thirst and hunger.
Yeah, 100%.
But there are some people who are exempt. So the elderly who might not be able to go that long day without eating and drinking, people who are on a health regime of medications and treatments that that, like for diabetics, sometimes they can't just, you know, stop eating. They need to keep their levels in check by eating certain foods throughout the day. So people, young people who are, you know, they're just too young, they don't understand what they're not required to. People who are involved in really hard work, physical work, where it would be very difficult to not drink while you're working, and not, you know, they can be exempt. They typically would make up for not being able to fast by feeding a poor person every day. So, so there's all kinds of accommodations for people in different, there's a million different situations that people are in. It's basically for those who are able to do it without, you know, any real harm or any discomfort or
And then how do you manage during the month? Tips and tricks? Do you just get used to it? How do you manage to go past like a day or two? What, yeah. Is it the start worse? Is the end worse? Are there ebbs and flows throughout the...
I have some tips and tricks, but maybe Oswald's learned a couple for herself. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't feel like...
What helps you more than anything to make it through the fast?
I don't know. This is like a joke with me and my friends is that, like, I feel like everybody like my age, we always go and we watch like cooking videos, which probably isn't the best use of our time. But like,
I'm going to eat this later.
No kidding. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I should have given like good, you know, like everyone's thinking like, oh, my mentality, no, we're just watching cooking videos.
That made me more hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, over the years, I've found that because some of them have been very long summer days, you need to have energy to make it through the day. So me specifically, I'm not recommending that my Muslim brothers and sisters, you know, do what I do, but I like to have cornflakes for breakfast.
Okay.
For some reason, this is a plug for Kellogg's cornflakes. Cornflakes for me, I'll have a big bowl of cornflakes with some honey, maybe some banana on it. And I, like, after a few days, you get past that, you know, reprogramming your stomach clock. I feel like I just got the energy, stamina to go through the day. And I don't like having a big breakfast because it's, you know, you end up getting really hungry in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
So it's a light, big bowl of cornflakes, and somehow it just makes, and, you know, fill up on water best I can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good.
There's a lot of things like that. People have like videos on like what you should eat for like the morning meal, like they're high in protein and make you less hungry.
Mm.
But I don't really think I follow that.
I find the high carbs is better than the high protein, but that's just me.
That's just I'd have a giant glass of water. Is there like always one last water? Here we go.
It's like got 10 seconds left. They have another glass. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That'd be me. I have my liter of Nalgene bottle right here.
Yeah.
I think I fill that up like 4 or 5 times during the day. And I'm just an absolute whale over here when it comes to drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
What about are there any common misconceptions or stereotypes that you have to correct people about?
I feel like the main thing that everyone always says when they find out about fasting, it's like, oh, you can't even drink water. Like, how is that even possible? I remember like when I was in like junior high, and this was like the first year that I was fasting, like a bunch of kids came up to me. They're like, oh, like, has anyone ever died from fasting? And I was like, no, obviously not. So I think it's like just people don't understand that, like, it's not something that's like life threatening or something that's like super like crazy. It's just, yeah, it just is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, it's kind of like, I mentioned it earlier about, you know, you have to do a blood test. So the doctors want you to fast for, you know, 12 hours before that. It's kind of like that, except you just do it again the next day and you're still eating. Like, it's not like you're, some people think that we're fasting 30 days straight, no eating, no nothing, which is impossible.
Yeah.
You would die after 7 days or something. But yeah, there's a misconception that we don't eat or drink at all for 30 days, which is, you know, we're eating every single day, a couple of times at least. Some people have, you know, the break of the fast at sunset, go do some prayers and socialize, and then come back and have another one because they're still hungry, and then go back to sleep. And so sometimes you're not really... Like, I might lose a few pounds over the course of 30 days because I get up for breakfast and I'm having, you know, a good meal at the end of the day and maybe even the night, another snack before I go to sleep. So that was one I would think. And some people are like, I can't even go without water. How are you going to go without food? And like, and I'm like, well, we're not supermen. We're just, it's a daily thing. And you commit to that day and you do the next day and then you do the next day and before you know it. And one thing we always notice, how fast it goes by.
Okay.
Yeah. At the beginning, you're thinking, well, we got 30 days and it's going to be so hard. And the next thing you know, halfway through it. And then the next thing you know, it's Eid, which is the celebration day afterwards. And you're like, where did the time go? It just, it's amazing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you find your body adjusts quickly after the first couple of days from switching up the routines?
Yeah, I feel like the main thing is just the sleep schedule. But I feel like after a few days, if you have like a set routine, then it's easier. It gets really easy, especially as the days go by.
And that's how I kind of envision it. Like, sure, the first or second day, you're kind of like, oh, this is different than what I was doing. But then
you're definitely hungry in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
The first few days, yes.
Yeah. You have to explain to people, it's just my stomach growling.
One thing that also happens is after the month is done and, you know, you've celebrated Eid, the festival afterwards, and the fasting's no longer required, it takes a while to get back to your regular habits because now you're not hungry during the day anymore.
Right.
It takes a few days at least just to start feeling like you want to have lunch because you haven't had lunch in a long time.
Right.
It takes a while to get back into that. So
I don't want to eat. It feels so weird in the morning waking up and eating. I'm like, this feels weird.
Yeah, having breakfast and the sun is up. Yeah. Like, am I supposed to be eating? You know, you're just so much in that routine now that you double check yourself at breakfast time and the sun is up and you're like, oh, wait a second. Oh, no, I'm okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can non-Muslims be supportive and respectful of just those observing?
I don't know. I think just ask questions if you're not really sure. A lot of people I find, they will start off with, I don't want to offend you, but why do you fast? Or I don't want to offend you, but what is Ramadan? Or, I always get surprised when I hear that. I'm like, you're just asking a question. You know, it's not anything. If they were making a statement and said something accusing or whatever, that's different. But I would encourage people just to ask whatever you want to ask. And, you know, I don't know much about Ramadan. Why is it that you fast? And what is fasting? And yeah, so I would just encourage. And if you don't need to ask the imam at the Islamic Center. You can ask the person you work with or your neighbor or whoever it is. And if they're the ones who are practicing and devout and that kind of thing, they'll have lots of information for you. Yeah.
Yeah, just go about it in a respectful way.
Yeah.
And kind of like how I kind
of... Seek first to understand, as they would say.
Yeah, I'm just so curious and I just like to ask questions. Yeah. And I think if you're respectful about it...
I think you'll find most Muslims are very willing and happy to share, because a lot of times it's sort of fly under the radar and, you know, people don't talk about their faith and they feel uncomfortable asking people about their faith. But you'll find Muslims in general very happy to share and educate, that kind of thing.
Leading us one studio here. We're talking all things Ramadan. Just taking a second break here on the show, and we'll be right back.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
And we're back. Thanks for tuning in to the show. I'm Sean Kreitz with Leading Us One Studio. We're talking all things Ramadan right now. Now, do you have any particular foods or meals that you traditionally break fast with and are eating at nighttime? Do anything you look forward to?
Well, the main thing you have to, it's recommended to break your fast with is a date. And then from my family, foods that we eat a lot. This comes from Pakistan, from Pakistan. We have a lot of oily foods like samosas. Those things are not good for you, but they're really good.
Sure, tastes
not good,
but
they are good.
Yep. Now for me, it can be anything is allowable. Anything that's allowed in Islam to eat is allowed to break your fast. The tradition of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was to break the fast on dates if they were available, or water or milk or something wholesome and simple. But anything that's allowable to eat as a Muslim is totally fine, and try to eat in moderation, because it's hard on the body to pack it all in after it's been empty for the whole day. Yeah. So
you're not as hungry after you take the first bite as you thought you were originally.
Yeah.
Fill up quick type of thing.
Yeah, you find a lot of times you pack your plate and you look at it, you get about three or four bites in, and you're like, I don't think I'm going to be able to eat all this. So your eyes are much bigger than your stomach.
We've kind of mentioned some of the social and community aspects of Ramadan. I think it was like helping out your neighbor type of thing. The charitable giving, I think you kind of mentioned that a little earlier. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Charity is one of the pillars of Islam. And it's not in the sense of, I feel like being nice to a poor guy today. It's actually a requirement to take stock of your wealth on a yearly basis, at least once, because the poor have a share in the wealth of the wealthy. The wealthy are responsible for the poor. And why a person's poor or how did they get there doesn't really matter. It's a matter of, this person doesn't have anything to eat. I have more than I need to eat. I have to share with what I have for those who don't have, and it doesn't matter why. So that's a part of Islam as a pillar, the same as prayer and belief in God and etc. So during Ramadan, we're taught that rewards for good deeds are multiplied, and only God knows how much he's going to multiply it for you. So in a regular basis, it's 10 times what you do, God will reward you for it. But in Ramadan, it's much more than that. So we're very much encouraged to increase the type of good deeds and the number of good deeds as much as we can during the month of Ramadan, with Muslims or with non-Muslims. Feed the poor, help the needy. Educate the one who doesn't have the access to education, anything that would benefit other people. So you will see Muslims getting very generous in Ramadan, very community-minded, Muslim community and outside of the Muslim community, just as a humane practice. So it's partly because it's built into our faith, but it's also because of that sense of, I just want to rack up as many points as I can during this month where we're taught that the gates of heaven are wide open and the gates of hell are chained shut. Mm-hmm. And so the opportunity to turn back and improve yourself and become more devout and reap the rewards of that spiritually and in this life as well. Mm-hmm. It's just a great opportunity.
Are there any other kind of social or community aspects you think we haven't touched on?
We do have one that's coming up on March 31st. It's called the Fastathon. Yes, it's at the New Islamic Center in Abraham's Land on March 31st. And everybody's welcome to join, whether they joined us in fasting or they didn't. So there'll be a really nice meal for the broader community. The Muslim community here, like most cities in Canada and United States, very diverse. So Sister Uswa's from Pakistani origin, mine from a Lebanese origin. There are people from African origin, people from the Caribbean, people from all over the world in Fort McMurray who are Muslim. So you'll see a variety of foods if you're interested in tasting, you know, different kinds of foods. So it'll be for sure Pakistani Indian food, some Lebanese food, maybe some African ones, a lot of Somali brothers and sisters. So it's a wide buffet going to be available to whoever wants to join us. Also, we encourage people to try the fast, you know, just try one day and sort of get a real feel for what it's like to go without, and not because of a blood test, but because of a spiritual reason. Mm-hmm. And there are also some physical benefits to it.
Mm-hmm. I know McTavish and Westwood are also doing a fastathon on like April 4th or something, so that's also going to be fun.
As a school community.
Yeah, as a school.
Very cool, very cool. And yeah, I guess, will this fastathon kind of be a place where people can kind of learn and celebrate?
Yes. So there'll be... I think it starts at 7, which is before the breaking of the fast. So there'll be some words of welcome offered. Maybe the imam will offer some information about Ramadan and Islam in general before the actual breaking of the fast. And then just a chance to mingle with, you know, if you have a friend who's fasting and you want to join them on that day, just come along to the Islamic Center. And so it starts at 7 on March 31st. There's a registration link I can... share with you if you want to.
Yeah, we'll throw it in the description of the podcast and anything afterwards, and hopefully get a good crowd out.
Yes.
Any message that you would like to share with the listeners, just about significance of Ramadan, the Muslim community in Fort McMurray? That was another question that I had. What is the community like here in Fort McMurray? You're kind of touching on it. Mm. A lot of different aspects from all around the world.
Yep. So, as I mentioned, it's a very diverse community. A lot of people think that Muslims are all Arabs, but actually Arabs are a minority in the Muslim world. There's only about 300 million Arabs in the Muslim world, and there's 1.9 billion Muslims around the world.
Yeah.
So not every Muslim is an Arab, and not every Arab is a Muslim. So that's one thing that is important to learn. Oh, yeah, we'd have a representation from all parts of the world, because Islam is a world religion, universal faith. It's open to whoever's interested in joining it, following it. The community is, as you know, there's a new Islamic center on the Abraham's Land. So right now it's a very large gym that we use for Friday prayers and for physical activities and recreation and meetings, for lessons for members of the Muslim community. We participate in community type drives for food bank, supporting food bank and other charitable causes throughout the year. Sometimes we undersell, you know, our contributions, but to the broader community. But the center itself is an investment in the community, to be honest, millions of dollars. And it wasn't just built by Muslims. It was, you know, contractors in the area. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that live here and work here built it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a huge investment in Fort McMurray's broader community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just for Muslims.
Yeah,
it's intended to be a center of learning for all people, and I think we try to do that as best we can.
Do you like a rough number of how many Muslims we have in the RMWB region?
I don't have exact numbers, but I'm guessing it's upwards of 5,000-6,000, maybe more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on, you know, economic conditions, people migrate and, right, you know, come and go. But as a significant number, yeah. There's quite a few.
Mm-hmm. Anything else we would like to add here? I ran out of all my questions here. Anything you think we haven't covered that you'd like people to know?
What do teachers need to know about fasting in Ramadan?
Don't make tests in the morning.
Don't put tests in the morning in Ramadan. Yeah, I'm an educator, so I'll pass that one on.
Yeah.
I feel like this, I know for the Montgomery Public School District, I feel like this entire community is very welcoming and very open-minded, because I know like McTavish, they put like decorations up even for Eid and for Ramadan, and like just having that, like knowing that our like practice is like welcome and respected, it's just that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. That's really nice.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate both of you for just having this conversation with me today. Wealth of knowledge, a lot of educational things that I've learned, and hopefully a lot of other people got to just learn more about here. Uswa, Waleed, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and chatting with me today.
Thank you.
We really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.